Morning again, everyone. I'm glad to be here. I missed being here last week. I don't like being away, so it's great to be back together with you guys. And there may be other things come up. Who knows? My wife works in the hospital, so we may have some other calls to be tested. Kids are in school and other things, so we're just going to have to be flexible going forward. I did forget an announcement. We got a new vehicle last week, new to us, Friday before we ended up being in quarantine on Saturday, 2016, Buick, and for all you guys that are interested, it's outside if you want to see it after service. Look inside it. It's the cleanest on the inside it's ever going to be, so go ahead and look inside. But yeah, we had a decision to make. Our van was falling apart, so we ended up having to get something different. But we did get a new vehicle last week. We're going to continue in Acts today. We had a break last week, and Carl brought us a great sermon from the words of Peter, and we're going to dive back into Acts this week, and we're going to see a lot of Peter going forward in this book. We're going to be in Acts 2, starting in verse 42. We'll end chapter 2 today, 42 to 47, as we take a look at this church being formed here today. Anyone in here have big family gatherings, big families? Maybe you haven't had big gatherings recently because of COVID, or people have moved away, or
we all used to have.
Some people have passed on, so our families' gatherings tend to get a little smaller. Maybe it's been a while, but you remember it. You remember having these get-togethers. Are there any other big families in here? No one in the back there. Even if you didn't have large families, you probably had large gatherings at some point. I remember our gathering, my dad's parents, 50 to 60 people in one house, gathering for Christmas or Easter or Thanksgiving or at some one point all three. Their kids, their grandkids, their great-grandkids, all the spouses, all under one roof. It was crowded, and every room had a different kind of feel, kind of activity going, and every room had a different sort of conversation and laughter. Everyone leading very different lives, but also gathering together in this place and having all things in common. Any of you have similar stories?
Amen.
The feeling of this kind of gathering in your house, and family's house, loved ones' houses. Maybe sometimes it didn't feel like that. Sometimes you're like, I got to get out of this place. But we all had those gatherings, those moments in our lives. How did it feel when it was going well, and laughter, chaos, but good chaos? How did it feel? This is what we will dive into today as we see the birth of the church on our pages this morning. All gathered and all having all things in common. We're going to look at it in three parts this morning: devoted to God, devoted to one another, and devoted to the mission. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Let's stand as we read God's word together. Acts 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this morning together again. We thank you that we do have a church family. We do have a Christian family, all united under after you, Father. Be with us now as we dive into your holy word and help us apply it to our lives as we leave this place today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it's been a couple weeks now since we were in this text. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Peter's first sermon. Acts begins with Luke recapping Jesus and his ministry in between defeating the grave and ascending into heaven. Then we see the scene of the Holy Spirit arriving and the crowds wondering what is going on. We looked at this scene. Then Peter stands up and speaks. First sermon, and 3,000 people come to Jesus. 3,000 people. Not too shabby for good old Peter, right? More importantly, the Holy Spirit is moving in this place. This is what it takes to save 3,000 people. This is what it takes to save one person. The Holy Spirit or no salvation.
Amen.
What's next? These new Christians and these apostles and other followers of Jesus begin something. Today we'll see what church life looked like at the very beginning. Not the beginning of this church and its long history. Not at the beginning of the church, the Christianity in America. The first church gathering ever. Which also makes it the closest gathering to Jesus ever. Just days after the Savior ascends, and moments after the Holy Spirit takes over, the text today reveals what took place. This is important because it'll give us a sense of how they lived, and it'll give us a sense of how close or how far from this life we are today.
Amen.
Let's dive in. Devoted to God. Our text starts out by saying they were devoted. Devoted to what? It says the apostles' teachings, fellowship, and were surrounded by signs and wonders. First, the teachings. What were they teaching? Scripture. They didn't have it written down yet, but it was the words of Jesus. Peter helps write the Bible. John helps write the Bible. Matthew helps write the Bible. They're all apostles and are teaching what they have witnessed. What they have heard and seen. Why do they have the authority to teach? Why these guys? They walked with the Son of God.
Amen.
He was here in part on this earth to prepare them. That's why he called them. This is one reason and a good reason. The other is they are indwelled by God's Spirit. The same Spirit who led Jesus, the same Spirit who wrote our Bibles, the same Spirit who's been around since the very beginning with God and His Son. This Spirit inside of them and driving them to teach. We have more than 3,000 people in this area, and they are devoted to God's Word. That is what this is. Next is fellowship. In this context of being devoted to teaching, a devotion to the teaching here is this idea of fellowship. It's further defined here as breaking bread and prayers. Breaking bread does bring to mind meals, and this weight is definitely carried through the rest of this text. Meals in their homes. But it's also something else. We call it the Lord's Supper. Coming to the Lord's table on the night of his arrest, he broke bread with his disciples, these men here who are teaching. The closeness described here is as if you can both grab the same piece of bread and break it apart together. This past year has brought many changes to us and the rest of God's family. Online church, meeting the needs of others from a distance. Some went to an online breaking of bread. I'm not saying these churches were wrong in this decision, but I'm saying that this gathering of God's people in our text and for us is meant to be intimate.
Amen.
It is meant to be close, drawn in together by the Spirit. drawn in as God's people and looking one another in the eye as we break bread together.
Amen.
As we pray together. Maybe an online form of this was needed in places, but it is not what is on our pages today. It is not what church is meant to be.
Amen.
Remember, I do not want to be the preacher on your screen, but rather the pastor in your life. That is how church needs to be. Next is signs and wonders. This is an obvious reference here to God's Spirit moving in this place. We saw it when the Spirit came down upon them and these men had languages flowing from their lips that they themselves did not know.
Amen.
We saw it through the ministry of Jesus as we walked through Mark together. From Jesus as he cast out demons and healed the sick and raised the dead. These men standing here teaching have done these things and will do these things in Acts. It's easy for us to say that this is missing from our church today, that these miracles are missing, but we would be wrong. Everyone in this place that claims Jesus as their Savior is a walking miracle.
Amen.
Do we understand this? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Sin equals death. Death is hell. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life is heaven. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. There's death, there's hell again, should not perish, but have eternal life.
Amen.
You are the dead raised to life.
Amen.
You are the impossible made possible by God. This is a miracle of God. You know what else? Countless cancer remission stories. Countless heart surgeries. Countless cancer treatments, other treatments, injuries, illness, sickness, all defeated. Many of us know someone that should have been dead and is not.
Amen.
We know someone. Just because miracles have become technologically normal in our life does not make them less of a miracle. One more thing. Until you see the medical interventions around you as miracles, or your salvation as a miracle, you will not have a proper view of God. It will always be tainted by this idea that what he did for these people on our pages, he does not do for you. This is false. And we must see it as the falsehood that it is to see our God properly. What do I mean? He does all things for you.
Amen.
We miss it because we hold on to the things that we want done and have not happened, and we let things that are happening by God's hand pass us by.
Amen.
Miracles in front of us, not acknowledged because not the miracle we wanted. Miracles in front of us, not acknowledged because not the miracle we wanted. Take a moment in your life to see the miracles present in it. Family, friends, loved one, marriages, children, they're there. His Son on the cross for you and his Spirit inside of you is a good place to start. So, teaching and fellowship and wonders that all point to one thing. Not devotion to miracles. And not devotion to breaking bread. And not devotion to the apostles, but rather a devotion to God. Love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength is what the Bible says. This is what this is. 3,000 plus leaning in together because they love their Creator and Sustainer. Because the Spirit within them drives them to the cross and to their knees. 3,000 plus.
Amen.
Some churches have this attendance every Sunday. Some churches have many more. Do we know what this looks like? Maybe we've been to a church this size. Our church in Louisville is big, but not this big. I think the Grand Ole Opry is a venue that everyone here is pretty familiar with. It holds about 4,000 people. Imagine this venue full, but not there for country music. All there for one reason, God. All. Our text today has this word repeated quite a bit. One heart, one soul, one prayer, one mission. What does it look like? What does it feel like? Not like any church you've ever been to. No one in this gathering just to check a box. No one in this gathering forced to be there. No one wishing or thinking about someplace else. All gathered were devoted. We can see this here in our building. But it will not happen unless our community sees one body gathered for Jesus. Sees one body together reaching out. If this is what we want, then this is what will happen. Do we want it? What are we devoted to? From the outside looking in, what would others say that you are devoted to? Devoted to God has to be the start, but there is more. Luke continues here. Devoted to one another. There's something more going on here than just gathering together. We're gathered here. You gather in your homes and at work. You gather at concerts and sporting events. What is different in our text? First, it's a gathering for God. First and foremost, it must always be a gathering for God. Our text also says they had all things in common. It says they sold possessions to meet each other's needs. It says they gathered at the temple and in their homes. Why go to this effort? What were they doing? Being the church. Being the church. Jesus said, take care of one another. Jesus said, doing for the least is doing for me. Jesus said, love others as you love yourself. We know these things, but do we do them? It was important to the first gathering of the church ever. It was important to Jesus. Is it important to us? This kind of fellowship has to be important to be this kind of church.
Amen.
We would say it is important, but how important is it? While in Africa, you notice something quickly, other than the extreme environment change. You notice this right away, the extreme environment change when you step off the plane. Maybe when you're on the plane, when the meal offering is dried beans and other things, curry. But when you hit the ground, you notice some things. First, there's a love for God there that you don't run into very often here. Worshiping constantly. Prayer services and church services that go on for hours, sometimes days. Worshiping as you enter the village, not worshiping you, worshiping the God that allowed you to be there with them. You also notice generosity. We were in a pastor's conference in a village nearby to the village that we always went to. There was a village we helped kind of start at this church. It was, they've got a clinic and a school, a place for students to come, a place for teachers to stay. Every kid gets a meal. It's a guaranteed meal for these kids in these areas every day, guaranteed education. So we go there to help the kids, hang out with the kids, teach the kids. There's also a pastor's conference nearby. At this conference, there's also a collection of children, some from the village, some from other areas. They're there because their family is there, or they're there because they know you're there, so they want to see you, or they want some handouts, or a mixture of both. We handed out candy one afternoon because it's all we had on us. There was a bunch of kids there, so they formed the line. We started handing things out. You start to notice that the chances are high that this candy or this nearby fruit is the first thing they've had to eat that day. We also noticed something else. Some of these kids who were waiting in line already had candy in their mouths. Now our first thought is they're trying to come back through the line to get more candy. That's everyone's first thought. That's always my first thought. Every Sunday morning I bring donuts to my house and donuts here. And then when I come around the corner, my kids are trying to eat the donuts here. I brought you donuts at home. You didn't bring us this kind. So that's our first thought. They're trying to get more. That's not what was happening. What happened? They actually had a family member or a friend go through the line first, and then they came to them and split what they had. They found them and split the candy. Groups gathering to share what they had. Maybe the first thing they had to eat that day. Most likely the first sweets they've had all week, all month, all year. And they immediately divided among themselves. Not thinking about themselves, no holding things for themselves, and no complaining about not getting what they wanted. They had two and went to find the someone that had zero. That was it. What should we take away from this? It's not to sell everything. That's not what Scripture teaches. We've looked at this before. It's not what this text says. It's not what Jesus says. We should, however, be led to think about our lives. In America, we are incredibly blessed.
Amen.
What could we lose so that others could gain? Is there a need in this room or in your life that you know you can meet? It doesn't have to be a lot. Find the thing you have two of and find the person who has none. It's that simple. This is biblical generosity. But let me also tell you what it is not. It is not the socialism push today. It is not communism.
Amen.
This passage has been used to justify these things, but it is not these things. Why? Because our passage deals with the individual and the church. It does not deal with a governing body deciding what is best for others, including what they can own and what they can eat and how much money they can make. That is not what this is. There's something else we should realize, though. We would not need the government to raise taxes or to come up with more programs that largely fail. That's what government programs do. They largely fail.
Amen.
We would not need this if the church was being the church.
Amen.
If around our country the church started being the church, started meeting needs, started finding the ones who had none, and splitting what they had, we would not need this. It starts with us. It starts with one another. The other part of this section is the gathering part. In the temple and in their homes, the Spirit now dwells within us, so we replace the temple. We understand this, the Spirit of God in the innermost room, in the temple, no longer, because He's in all who believe.
Amen.
So we are the temple. But the church building and its gathering in the temple would be comparable here. Gathering in homes is interesting. This is actually where most of the church happens in the context of Acts. This is actually where most of the church happens across this world today. Not many places have the freedom of religion that America has. They have to have house churches, secret churches. What should we see here? Being together is important. So important that this first church met in the temple and in their homes, constantly together to worship God, to lift one another up. If you want to see your church grow, then you start by being there for those around you always. No need too small or too large, and you also start showing up. Important things come up, but at some point, being here must be important too. Someone in this room needs to see you.
Amen.
You need to see someone in this room. This is how accountability takes place. Not drawn into your homes in secret. That's not where accountability takes place. This pandemic has made this harder, and we're doing the best we can, but know this, gathering is important.
Amen.
We are called the body of Christ for a reason. Amen. We're called His bride for a reason. Not everyone an individual bride, but a bride, the church.
Amen.
Paul says, do not neglect to meet together and encourage one another. This is what we must do.
Amen.
I've seen the generosity of this place. I've seen you draw in together for one another. This is great. This is fantastic. This is also not complete. There is more.
Amen.
Love God, love one another, and love your neighbor. Be the church in this place and in the world. This is where Luke shows us next. This is where he goes next. Devoted to the mission. Our last verse today is interesting. Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Having favor with all and new Christians every day. This all people here is not just the gathering of the church we've been talking about up to this point. It is everyone around them. This area sees what is happening. This area is in a state of shock. One day, everything's the same as it has been every day, and then the next, everything changes. They hear Jesus is not dead. They hear Jesus is God's Son. They hear all those who repent and believe in Him will be saved, will have God's Spirit within them. We say this often like it's no big deal. But before this moment, God's Spirit only dwelled in the inner room of the temple, and all who dared to enter would die. Do we hear that? Being with God's Spirit meant death. Hold that in your brains for a moment. Now they're telling them it does not mean death. The inner temple meant death. Even the high priest went once a year, and he still feared death. He'd tie a rope onto his ankle so he could be dragged out if something was wrong with him, if he wasn't properly presented to the Lord. He feared death. No one worthy to stand in his presence until the Son came. Jesus was worthy, and now all who profess in him are too. This would be startling and eye-opening. This is quite the change for this people. 3,000 plus felt this change immediately. Now our verse says that this group of people that have been changed are finding favor with all people. What does this mean? It means they are not keeping to themselves. They are not serving only themselves. They are reaching out. They are sharing the gospel. The only way to gain favor with those around you is to be with them, to serve them, to lead by example, to gain their trust. Paul writes to Timothy about this when he's relaying what the life of a church leader should look like. We know this as a list of sorts of requirements to be a pastor, to be a church leader. It's in 1 Timothy 3. The list itself is just a call to all Christians, though. It's a list of Christian strengths that leaders must carry without reproach. There should be no hesitation into how the leader is carrying themselves. But this list is for all. It's a Christian list. On this list is, he must be well thought of by outsiders. Say what? We understand things like lead your house as well. We understand things like don't be a drunk. Be faithful to your husband or to your wife. But well thought of by outsiders. Why? They have nothing to do with the church, right? Wrong. They have everything to do with the church. Our doors are not closed. All are welcome. The outsiders are only outsiders because they do not know Jesus. That's it. All fall short and all are sinners. We like to think that doesn't include us. It doesn't say except you. All fall short and all are sinners. The church is full of sinners saved by the grace of God through His Son and through His Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If you are not well thought of, or well respected, or seen as a Christian, then why would outsiders ever want to be an insider? Why would anyone want to come share their lives with us if we treat them just like the world would treat them? This is not loving, this is not caring, and this is not what we are called to be. The church grows in Acts, largely because of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We see it here because those who are outside wanted inside because Spirit-filled believers reached out to them. Who likes vacations in here? None of you like vacations. When you go on vacation, do you pick a different place to stay every time or to go over time? Maybe you like the beach or you like the mountains and you choose one of those, but do you go to a different cabin? Do you go to a different hotel, different beach? Some probably do. Some like trying new things. Most, however, go back to the same place over and over again. I can tell because I see where you're sitting. You're used to it. You know it. It makes you comfortable. Whatever it is, it keeps you coming back. What if you were treated terribly? What if you were treated as an outsider? Treated horribly, poorly, treated like you did not belong? You would not go back, would you? You'd have a different location next time. That place is not on your list anymore. That's what our text is pointing to here. The fact that every time you greet someone new in this place, or every time you interact with someone outside of this place, you are representing the church. You are representing Jesus. The question is, what do people see when they see you? What do they hear? Are they compelled to see why you are the way you are? Or do they find themselves seeing more of the world? Do they find themselves seeing you and being good with what they already have? This isn't the whole story. We're important. But our text says the Lord adds to their number. We're the messengers, but the Lord adds to their number. Your walk does not do it. How you hold yourself at home or at your job does not do it. It may very well turn people away, but it does not change hearts. What does? The gospel. The Holy Spirit, hearing the word of God and being changed by it. God changes hearts through the gospel shared. Romans 10, verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hear those words. Everyone who calls, truly repentant, calls on the name of Jesus, they will be saved. It doesn't end there. It says, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Amen.
But they cannot call if they do not have belief. Cannot have belief if they haven't heard, cannot hear if someone hasn't shared. Someone must go so unbelievers can hear and be changed, by the gospel. They will not hear the good news if your demeanor or your attitude or your daily walk turns them away. In your life as a Christian, you are the beacon of light in the darkness of the world. You needed this light once, and now everyone around you needs this light from you. Your church needs your light too. You have to be here to spread your light in this church. And you have to be in the world representing Jesus to spread your light in the world. We all live out this love that we have for Jesus in between these walls and in our daily walks so that those outside can be inside. So that those without God can be found with God, so that all lost and without hope, which is everyone in the world, can find this hope in Jesus. Is this what we do? Does your life invite people in? And is the gospel carried by you? In a few moments, we'll sing and pray and head to the door. What are we carrying with us today from this text? Being a church means focused on all things God. This is what it meant 2,000 years ago, and it is what it means today. It also means that we are there for one another. Being the church means gathering and meeting needs and lifting one another up. Being the church means having two of something and finding the person with none. We've also seen that being the church means reaching out. It means the world around us sees us as different and wants to know the difference. To see it in our gatherings and in our lives, and the difference is always Jesus. The difference is always God. Hearing the Word of God and being transformed by the Spirit of God. This is the difference.
Amen.
As we leave today, how do we need to pray? For courage in our lives to reach out. Maybe pray for the opportunity in your lives to help out. Maybe pray for the Spirit of God to change you. Maybe today you realize this need in your life for Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, and you will find yourself to be a Spirit-filled member of God's family today. Family is indeed what we are called to be. That is what the church is on our pages. How close are we to this? How close are we? Lean into God and into one another. Meet the needs and reach out with the gospel. Is this who we are? What are your needs? Come and pray for these things as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this day together. We thank you that we all have the opportunity to gather as your people. Father, press it in to our hearts today of what it means to be your people. What it means to be changed by your Spirit. Father, our prayer today is that everyone feels this change by your Spirit. We want all people to be Spirit-filled believers. This is our prayer. We pray for the sick. We pray for the ailing. We pray for the many sufferings across this country and across our world. But we pray for Jesus to be in every heart. Father, we also pray that we are used by you to accomplish this. Let us know where in our lives we can reach out for you. Let us know where in our lives that we can meet a need. Let us know in our lives where Jesus is needed. Help us today to be the church you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, I pray.